So I'm going to start off with an introduction, then I'll go over to the other side of the table. But this is Kate Weber. Today is February 5th, 2016, and I'm here in Wineskill. Is that how you pronounce it?
Actually, you're in Posenkill.
You're
physically in Posenkill.
Okay. Doing a recording for the Cooperstown Graduate Program. And if I could ask both of you to introduce yourselves.
I'm Geraldine Alley, Moxie's wife, and the two of us started the ice cream place. And I grew up in Avril Park, and I made the big move when I got married to Posenkill. So I've lived in two homes my whole life.
I'm Moxie, the alias Muhammad Ali. I lived at Snyder's Lake, grew up in the area, moved up here, and this is where we lived, and then we started the ice cream place.
Great. All right. So you've told me a little bit about your birthplaces, but is there anything more you want to talk about where you grew up and how you ended up here?
Well, like I said, I grew up in Avril Park, went through the Avril Park school system, and Moxie and I rode on the same school bus, and my sister was dating Moxie's best friend, and he didn't have a car, but Moxie did, so Moxie used to bring them out on their dates. And my mother didn't want the neighbors seeing my sister go out with two boys, so she sent me along. And that's how we got together. And after dating for a couple of years, once I graduated, we got married and we moved here to Posenkill. And it was probably about 7 years later when we decided to start the ice cream place. At the time, Moxie was a cook, and he worked in different restaurants. And the Lord really blessed him with great taste buds. He could make boiled water taste good. And so he's been very successful in making ice cream because he is so sensitive to the tastes.
Anything to add to the story?
No, I got nothing else to say.
Tell them how you got started to learn to make ice cream.
Well, are we going to do that now? You know, well, it just, I wanted a restaurant. Well, I should go back a little further than that. I worked Captain Table Restaurant on Route 9 for about a year, year and a half. I went from there to Siena College. I ran and fed all the students at Siena College. I ran the kitchen down there. Then I went and I fed the priest in the friary there. For a while, I left there and became a machinist. That's why I learned a lot of stuff. And then went to State Campus Building 3. Leroy and I ran the kitchen down there. We fed the state employees. We fed 3,500 people a day. But I wanted a restaurant. And while I was at the campus, I decided to open a fish fry place down at the Altamont Fair. And I opened the Altamont Fair. I had the Moon Burger, the Texas Burger, the Saucerino, and the fish fries at the Altamont Fair. The Moon Burger came in when the people landed on the moon. That's when I came up with that idea. And the Saucerino was just a Saucerino in reference to the saucer, the flying saucer that went into the air. And then we had the ice cream place, in which we would do all the parades. We would do, like some of the parades that we would do would be the Flag Day Parade in New York, in Troy, and we would also do the Posting Hill parades and other parades that were in the area. We come out with, the parades would be like, Little Business Began with Nothing, or the Nuts and Bolts of America. And what we would do, we'd put a 4-foot bolt on a big wagon made out of chicken wire and all full of flowers and stuff. Big nut and all that stuff. So Nuts and Bolts began with, America started with Small Business and Nuts and Bolts of America. Then we had Lincoln at Paths with the Future. Abraham Lincoln sat on a flying saucer.
And our slogan for that was
Lincoln at Paths with the Future.
Old flavors with today's prices.
No, that was the other one. That was the flying saucer. The future, the past with the future. The one that she just mentioned was the one we had the kids of different countries come in and sit on a boat with the banana boat and stuff like that, saying the price, old-fashioned prices.
That one there was a melting pot of America. America is the melting pot. And we had all the kids dressed in different...
Well, that was a costume thing, yep.
Actually, okay. If I can just jump in, remember I mentioned the clock earlier? Mm-hmm. I just noticed I can hear a clock in the kitchen. Would you mind if I took the battery out and then make sure we put it back in on the way out?
Sure.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so what else?
Well, I got lots of stuff.
Remember...
That'll
make a big difference. Thank you. Sorry about the interruption. Was that the one you heard, or is it that one over there? Oh, there's one. Hello, Monty. Hello. In reference to what? Well, we're in the middle of a conference, please. Thank you.
Very official. All right, thank you. Sorry about that interruption.
All right.
So would you say then, it sounds like you knew from a pretty early age that you wanted to be working with people and serving people. Do you think that's right?
Yes.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I just like to serve people, that's all. And it's just the excitement of being with people, that's all. Doing things for people. That's the main thing. Yeah. You know, it's the Lord says, we got to serve people, and that's basically what we try to do down at the ice cream places, actually serve people so they feel at home, regardless of what age they are or anything else. It's just, we serve them. And it's just a matter of... Our theory at the ice cream place is, and also the water business, is regardless of what the circumstance, when you come to the counter, you are a customer. You get treated, regardless of what, like anybody else. That's it.
That's great. So how did you come to... have Moxie's ice cream shop?
I have a little trouble hearing, so you'll have to speak up a little.
Of course, I'm just wondering how you came to have Moxie's ice cream shop.
Well, let's see. At the time, he was a cook, and Wager Brothers ran it for many years. And he closed it down, and he rented it out. So the first couple of years, she refused to rent it to us. She rented it to other people. And those people only lasted 1 year and wouldn't come back. And so I think it was the third year when he finally said yes to us. And we've been there ever since. We really enjoyed it. And it was a seasonal thing. So Moxie, in the beginning, he would quit his job and run the ice cream place, the two of us. And then come fall, he'd go out and get another job. But as the years went on and jobs became harder and tighter to get. He wasn't able to do that. So he had to stay at his full-time job, and I ran it during the day while he was at work. And then later on, he left his job, and we went into the restaurant business, and we ran the restaurant alongside with the ice cream.
In the same building?
In the same building. But then we had a fire over in the restaurant section, so we did not reopen that. But then we ran it with high school kids. We've given many high school kids their first job. And that type of a job, it's a very good experience for young people. Every kid should have that kind of a job. It teaches them to be able to speak to other people, you know, and gain confidence. So that's what we've done over the years. It's given many kids their first job.
And just to clarify on the years, could you tell me when it was that you rented and when you bought and what years the restaurant were? Just a rough idea.
1969, we physically bought the building. 67 and 68 is when we rented it. In 71... The only reason why we bought it, they were allowed us, town of Brunswick, and Mr. Penny said we could put the restaurant in. So in about 70, 71, we put the restaurant in. That was the window service. That's when we had the Sausarena, the Texas burger, the sauce, and the corn on the cob, and the fish fries, and the hamburgers. We had all that stuff down there. That's when... When I opened the ice cream place, is I didn't even know how to turn the machine on. I didn't even know how to turn the machine on. So Ben Penny, who we bought it from, came down and started the machine up. Well, when the second time we went to start the machine up, it wouldn't run. So I called Manali Brothers, and they stood around for 4 hours just to stand there and touch this button and turn this valve, and that was it. So the second time I was making ice cream, I didn't know how to make ice cream. I had the slightest idea. So what I did, Alpha Aromatics come up. His salesman, he was a Dutchman. And he says to me, "You stupid jerk, don't you know how to make anything?" And he stood there for 2 days showing me how to make ice cream. And we were in the ice cream business. But during the time that we were there, nobody would give us the temperature of cabinets, what the temperature in the cabinets were. So we had a very bad problem the first year of dipping ice cream. It was so hard, it was unreal. Because nobody would give you that piece of information. We had to learn that after a short period of time, how to do that.
Was that a trade secret kind of thing? They didn't want the competition?
No, people at that time didn't give away information. In the meantime, when I was there, I worked with Borden's and set up several other places for ice cream and showed different people how to set up ice cream cabinets for temperatures for dipping the kind of ice cream they had. The kind of ice cream you had determined what temperature your cabinets have got to be on. If you have 10% ice cream, just plain vanilla, all right, it's going to stay harder, so you need to bring your temperature down to 6 to 8 degrees. But if you got fruit flavors, you got to bring them in the area of about 10 degrees for dipping. So it varies the kind of ice cream you got and whatnot.
And you had to learn most of that as you went along.
As we went along, we learned the hard way.
The very first day we opened, our ice cream was like a rock. We couldn't dip the cones, and it was really a disaster. And we had customers complaining, "Is that all you get?" Well, it was all we could shovel out of them. But that's something we learned fast, how to adjust our cabinets.
Yep. And then from there, I learned how to make sherbets. I went to Penn State University to learn how to make sherbets. I went to their ice cream course. And I spent my, well, my, whatever it is, 10, 12 weeks or 14 weeks down there learning how to make ice cream and make sherbets. There was a total of 70 of us there at the time, about 70 of us in the class. And out of about 70 of us, there was only about 12 of us that had taste flavors, flavors that could taste ice cream. So it was just about 12 of us were about the only ones that could really know the difference in ice cream.
Can you talk more about that? Is it a special out of the population? Is it pretty rare?
Each one of us are set up with different kinds of taste buds, or different kinds. And some people have taste buds that can recognize different flavors and how to put flavors together, and other people can't. It's as simple as that.
And your taste buds are actually around your mouth. And that's one thing that people should think about. They're always wiping their baby's face, and they shouldn't. They should leave it there so the child can enjoy the flavors of what he's eating.
But that's when they're young.
Yeah.
That's basically when they're young, when they're small. Mm-hmm. The flavors is on the outside of your mouth, not in your tongue.
And another thing that can affect that is if you're a smoker or a drinker, that dulls your taste buds. So that, and we would have experience like that. We'd get people who were drunk that would come up to the window. This stuff tastes terrible. Well, he could knock me over with his breath. I mean, he wasn't really tasting our ice cream. And the same thing with smokers. If people are heavy smokers, their taste buds are not very sensitive. Yeah.
So most people that develop ice cream flavors, is that a necessary skill for that, or is it something that helps?
Well, it helps tremendously for people to do that. Mm-hmm. The key to it all, when you're making ice cream and deciding what flavors you need to know what flavor you want to dominate the other flavors. Because all your ice creams, there's a dominating flavor in it, what kind of flavor you want. When you're going to be making, when we made the signature flavor for the Valley Cats, we made their sunflower ice cream, sunflower flavored ice cream. It was a matter of we took your sunflower seeds, we took the ones that were salted, the plain ones, different flavors of sunflower seeds to determine how we wanted the ice cream to taste. And it's a matter of you set different flavors out, the flavor that what you want, then you add what you want into it till you get the kind of a taste and flavor that you want for your ice cream. We made ice cream for different individuals in the area, your different Shalimar restaurants, their coconut flavor, their mango, their banana. They have different, because they're from a different nationality, they have different ways that they want their ice cream made. We made a signature flavor for the Emerald Green Restaurant in Albany. It was a green ice cream. It tasted very good. It was a green tasting ice cream in which they done very, very well with it until they closed their doors after about 4 years. So, but their customers were tickled pink. We made a special flavor for them. We make a special flavor for the Dutch Cruises.
The Riverboat Cruise out of Troy.
Out of Albany. They're out of Albany. We do their Dutch Apple, their chocolate, and their vanilla for them. The Shalimar restaurants, we do their coconut, mango, pineapple, and banana. That's what we do for them.
And then for the baseball.
I did. I said that. We were told them we got that flavor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
So can you talk about the process? Someone comes to you and they say, I'd like you to make a special ice cream flavor for us. How do you proceed?
Well, first I ask them what they want. We try to figure it. We try to know what they want. Okay. You try to figure out what they're known for or what they want, and then we decide what flavor they would like, right? Okay, and then we call one of our major flavoring companies, and we would get, if they wanted a celery base, we would get the celery concentrate in order to use in what their in their flavoring. We made a celery green apple ice cream 1 year. Someone asked us to make that for them. We did. So we got the celery base, we got the apple base, then we would get the kind of apples that they want, the kind of flavor they would want, and then we'd make up a batch of vanilla and then flavor it according to what we feel they wanted, and then they would taste it till we got exactly what they wanted, then we'd make the ice cream for them. But it's a process of doing it. Yep. It's, you know, the reason the individual back down, because if he wants, special flavors, it all depends on what kind of concentrate I got to use, all right? The flavoring concentrate, like if you get into some of the exotic flavors, what you would find out that one quart of flavoring would cost you $300 to $400, in which you're going to make maybe 6 3-gallon tubs of ice cream, you know, then you're looking at $100 a tub, or, you know, I guess it'd be very expensive. So the individuals have to go through all this process before. So that's why you can't make some of the flavors that people want.
Yeah, I was wondering about the expense, and also, are certain flavors just more difficult to make than others?
No. Basically, no. We're very fortunate. We use a 16% butterfat. All right. Of 16% butterfat, we use 100% all-natural concentrate. All right. Then we use an all-natural puree, which is actually the fruit itself. Right. And then it'll depend whether it's a fruit or what it is. If it's a fruit, then we'll add natural citric acid to it in order to bring out the tang and the fruit flavor that's there. And we go from there. That determines, brings your flavor out. So you have a flavor for your ice cream so it comes out good. Basically, most of the flavors you can do it's not really that hard. It just, once you get down to where, first you got to learn what you want them to taste like and what they should taste like and what color they should be. I say that because I worked for a company years and years ago, and the only two colors he had was yellow and brown. Strawberry with brown. But that's the only two colors he knew. So, but it was a time to tell him that everything has a different flavor, different color, which is kind of hard. We try not to use any coloring, as far as coloring goes. We try to use mostly 99% of our product is all natural. The flavor, if we use a coloring, it might be a coloring. We might take a coloring off blueberry to get a color in that line, to get that kind of a blue or something. It's done with that kind of products and not artificial stuff that you can buy.
Okay. Could you tell me more about your ingredients, where you get them, and how you started that process?
Oh, that's our product. In the beginning, our products came, most of them came from Alpha Aromatics. He was a Dutchman that showed me how to make ice cream. So a lot of his products came from them. At the time when they were doing that, they had all natural products. They were very good. They had some very, very good products. When they started to cut back, then we went to somebody like Oranger or different companies that were making the products. Flavorings come from like Weber or your different big flavoring companies that would make your different flavor. They would also make your concentrates, because they would use all natural products. The most flavoring companies make both natural and artificial flavors for anybody who wants them. We use an all-natural vanilla. Our vanilla is come from different parts of the world. You can tell them about the vanilla beans, Ma. Go ahead there.
Well, the vanilla plant is the same plant all over the world. It depends upon where it's grown, what their soil is, that determines the flavor that the bean has. So we have seven different vanillas that come from different parts of the world. So it has, they do each have their unique, separate flavor. Yeah.
Madagascar vanilla is the vanilla that you're most common with around here. That's what most people use.
Yeah, and that's what they use in baking, yeah, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Then you have your Mexican vanilla, and then you have your Indonesian vanilla. Some would have a, I'm trying to remember which ones are which. Anyway, some would have a cinnamon flavor, some would have a smoky flavor. Remember the rest
nutty
of
nutty flavor.
Huh?
A nutty flavor.
A nutty flavor. That would be your different from different parts of your country.
And is the, if you're using a fruit, would that also come from the supplier?
Yes. Yeah. All our puris come from different suppliers, yes.
Except bananas. Banana ice cream. We get our bananas at the grocery store and let them ripen up and mash them and use that. So when I go down and buy 5-10 pounds of bananas, I always get a remark from somebody else standing in line, "Wow, you really like bananas, don't you?"
But your fruit, you buy concentrates from different companies. Depends what company you get. Maine very good for blueberries, so you get blueberries from Maine. You get a concentrate that's made from wild blueberries, right? You get your raspberries from different parts of your country. But most of your fruit companies do have your flavors that you want. We get a lot of our mango from India. They're brought in from India. We get them they're imported from India because they have the orange flavors, the orange color that people want in a mango. And it's a stronger mango. There's a red mango, an orange mango, and a yellow mango. in this area, particular area, we're accustomed to the orange mango and not the yellow or the red. Okay? Fruit flavors comes to, like strawberry, in certain areas strawberries don't sell, but strawberry ice cream sells in different areas. All depends what area and what people are more accustomed to makes a big difference.
Is there something that, are there flavors that people in this area think are popular or like that you've noticed aren't?
Well, we're known, our signature flavor is Blue Moon. It's blue in color. It's a Smurf blue. It's blue in color. And what's so unique about it tastes different to everybody. So that's one of the things that unique about our Blue Moon. We do very well with it. People try to copy it, and it doesn't taste the same. So we're very fortunate in that thing. And to give you an example of that, we had an individual come up to the windows and got a Blue Moon ice cream. And he got it for his son. And his son had the Blue Moon. Daddy, I came, got his Blue Moon.